44. Nina. With each step Nina took onto the naval base, she wondered if she'd hear a voice telling her to halt. She flinched at every shout. Sure, she was about to feel the sting of a Druskella whip around her arms, or that a squad of the apparat's men would rush at her. But the Fjerdans only had eyes for the dragon soaring above them. "It's back!" someone shouted. "Take cover!" Nina had to remind herself to duck down and find shelter behind a grounded flyer. "What is that thing?" she asked the pilot, staring up at the sky. "I don't know," he said, voice shaking. "I saw it before. It destroyed the Eastern Tower and then just flew away."
"Maybe it wasn't hungry then," Nina offered helpfully.
The pilot whimpered and curled more tightly to the side of the flyer. She made her way back to the broom's cabin slowly, taking in the tumult around her and giving herself time to concoct a story. The naval base had moved north to join in supporting the battle at Arkesk. Now, Fjerdan medical units were being deployed to attend to soldiers and to bring bodies back from the front. Nina could sense the change that had come over these men. They had entered one battle, but had been forced to fight another. Even those who had considered the possibility of defeat hadn't thought it would come this way, courtesy of a dragon and a squadron of flying shoe warriors. No one could have imagined Fjerdan's soldiers kneeling before a Grisha. If Nina's thoughts still felt like a slippery plate of dumplings, she couldn't begin to guess at what the people around her must feel. Assuming no one had gotten a clear view of her during the battle, she only had to account for where she'd been over the last few hours. She would say that she'd needed time to recover from what she'd seen during the sea invasion, that she'd been more disturbed by it than she'd realized, and that once the base had joined the northern assault, she'd simply tried to stay out of the way. And if the apparat had managed to survive and attempted to expose her? She didn't know what proof the priest might have of her true identity, but she doubted it would matter. The Fjerdans would throw her in a cell and ask questions later. Nina was not going to let that happen. The apparat's men had taken the bones from her sleeves. That might have left her vulnerable, but there was death all around. Corpses on shore and on base, all of whom could become her soldiers. She just needed to find Hanna and get them both out of here. But the broom's quarters were empty. There was no sign of Ylva or Hanna to be found. Nina changed out of her soaked clothes and into the rose wool dress she'd worn the previous day. She rebraided her hair and headed out onto the deck. Could Hanna still be with the prince in the Western Tower? She was only a few yards from the command center when she heard a woman sobbing. It sounded like Hanna. Nina broke into a run and saw a group of soldiers gathered around someone or something. Jarl Broom stood off to the side, arguing with a group of royal guards. He had dirt on his face, the muck of blood and battle staining his uniform. She pushed through the circle of soldiers and sailors, fighting to get closer, and then stopped dead. It wasn't Hanna crying. It was Ylva, sobbing over her daughter's broken body. Nina's mind tilted, unable to comprehend what she was seeing. That wasn't right. It couldn't be. Hanna lay on her stomach in a pool of blood, her body bent at an impossible angle, her face turned to the side. Her profile looked wrong, her rosy freckles, her full lips. Nina fell to her knees, reaching for her. Hanna's blood had soaked Ylva's shirt. Her body was cold. "The prince," Ylva cried between sobs. "The prince said she fell." Nina looked up, up to the Western Observation Tower where Hanna had gone to watch the battle with Prince Rasmus. Not Hanna. Not her Hanna. It was happening all over again. She was kneeling in the streets of a foreign city. She had Matthias's blood on her hands. Was this what her love did? Did it murder everything it touched? Nina wanted to scream, and so she did, unable to stop the anguish that tore through her. Hanna wouldn't jump, would she? They'd had hope for the future, hope for escape. But Nina thought of Hanna sitting on the edge of her bed. How lost she'd looked, how scared. "If he asks for my hand, I cannot deny him. But Nina, I can't say yes." 2 nights ago,
an eternity away, a moment when Nina had still believed in possibility. "Maybe I can't be happy at all," Hannah had said. Nina saw Joran watching, his face ashen, stricken by what looked like grief. She lurched to her feet and seized him by the fabric of his vile Druskella jacket. "What happened?" Her voice was shrill, sharp as broken glass. "What happened to her? What did you do to her?"
"I didn't see," he protested, then yanked her close, wrapping his arms around her. "You must be still. You must calm yourself."
But in her ear, he whispered,
"I don't know what happened. There was an argument. The prince struck her, only a slap, but then he was taken with some kind of fit. Hannah told me to get help, and when I returned..."
Nina shoved away from him. She couldn't think, couldn't breathe. Hannah, Hannah, Hannah. Her name a blessing, an incantation, a curse. The prince had hurt her. Maybe it had just been a game to him, like the one he'd played with Joran, testing his control. A chance to see how far he could push his rivalry with Broom.
He was taken with some kind of fit.
Hannah had lashed out. She probably hadn't meant to. She'd been frightened and she'd used her power on the prince. And then what? What had happened between them when Joran had left them alone? "He did this," she spat. "Prince Rasmus. Where is he? Hannah didn't just fall, and there's no way she would jump. Where is he?"
Jarl Broom was suddenly beside her. "Be silent," he growled.
He clapped his big hand over her mouth. His eyes were chips of ice. Nina thrashed in his arms, tried to bite his fingers. Broom only squeezed tighter, startled by her strength.
"You will not say such things."
Nina couldn't breathe. She looked into Broom's hateful eyes, his pupils like pinpricks, and she knew then what a coward he was. He'd lost control of his Druskella on the battlefield. The invasion had collapsed. He was desperately hanging on to his position and couldn't afford any hint of treason, even with his daughter dead at his feet. Nina stopped moving. Slowly, cautiously, Broom released her. "You know he did this," she said plainly. "You know what he is." And Nina had known too, but she'd let Hannah face him alone. Had Hannah admitted she was Grisha? Had she rejected his proposal? Stung his pride? Or had he simply wanted to hurt Broom and show that he was the one who truly held the power? Ylva let loose a broken moan.
"I never should have let her go with him. I never should have let her enter Heartwood."
Nina knelt and threw her arms around Hannah's mother. She could feel sobs shaking both of their bodies.
"I will kill him," Nina said. "I swear it."
"That won't bring her back."
Nina didn't care. She'd lost too much. She had spared Joran. She had begged Zoya to spare Fierta's soldiers. Mercy, mercy, always mercy. But what good was mercy when the world took the best people from it? Matthias gone, Hannah gone.
"Save some mercy for my people."
Maybe the Fjerdans deserved forgiveness, but their leaders? Broom? This monster prince did not. She and Hannah had dared to dream of a new world, but they'd put their trust in the wrong people. A clarion horn rang out over the deck. The prince was coming.
"Mila, you must control yourself," Ylva pleaded. "There may be an explanation."
"He killed her, Ylva."
"I know it, and so do you."
A hand gripped the back of Nina's neck hard.
"You will be silent, or I will silence you," Broom snarled.
Nina stood, breaking Broom's hold. The wild hysteria that had gripped her was gone, and only fury remained. She met his gaze, and Jarl Broom, commander of the Druskella, architect of torture, Fiera's scythe, took a step back. She knew she was at risk of blowing her cover. She knew that Mila, sweet, meek, doting Mila, would never dare look Broom in the eye, would never show him this clean, unclouded glimpse of her rage.
"You are a coward," she said,
her voice low in her throat. It was an animal growl. She spoke for Matthias, for Joran, for Hannah, for the Grisha, for everyone whose roots had been forced to drink the poison of this man's hate.
You are the lowest form of man. Without honor. Without integrity. Jeldjeren Jetop.
Jel turns his back on you.
Mila!
Ilva gasped. Broom's lips flattened.
You are no longer welcome in our home.
Nina laughed.
I don't keep company with vermin. My place is with the wolves.
Broom could see it now, that she was not what she had pretended to be. But the other generals were approaching, the royal ministers.
Anke Yanderstadt, Joran said urgently. Mila, you must listen. The prince has commanded that.
But Rasmus's voice cut past the crowd. Come,
Anke Yanderstadt.
He stood surrounded by guards and nobles, waving her over with a lazy flick of his hand. His face was golden, glowing, warm and alive. He finally looked like a Grimgir. It was as if he'd stolen Hanna's life and swallowed it.
I must travel to Oskervo for these peace talks, and I would have you beside me. We should be together in our grief.
She heard no remorse in his words. If anything, he sounded even more vicious and amused, as if he once again held the crop in his hand.
Rasmus at his worst.
Nina trembled.
How would she kill him?
A dart to his throat. A corpse to tear him in two. Maybe she would strangle him with her bare hands. The prince thought he was dealing with another vulnerable girl. Someone kind and good. Someone gentle like Hanna. She forced herself to curtsy. She would bear his presence. His smugness until she could get him alone. Then Nina would end his life. She would be hung for it, she knew. Maybe burned alive on a pyre.
And she didn't care. I was a soldier before I was a spy, and I am done with lies.
She fell into step beside the Crown Prince of Fjerda.
I will leave this world on a hammer blow.